The hardly a wit detective agency hadn't had a job in over a month, and we were getting desperate. Rent on the office was due. Hardly couldn't afford gasoline for his car. We couldn't afford bus fare, so we walked to work just to save money. At home, I was already rationing food. Right now, I would have taken on any client that telephoned us or knocked on the door. I jumped out of the chair and ran to answer it. Please be a client. Are you an actual detective agency? We got that question a lot. A middle-aged woman, about 58, with silvery gray hair and a careful updo tucked under a fashionably expensive hat with a mink stole draped over her shoulders, stood before me. Yes, I'm Lacey Stocking, one half of the WIT agency. I didn't mean to be impertinent. It's just that... Can I come in? Hardly was asleep in his chair with his feet propped up on the desk as usual. I knocked his feet onto the floor, causing him to jerk awake. What's going on? We have company? I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name. Mrs. Gloria Mason.
Well, Mrs. Mason, what can we do for you?
So, Miss Stocking, you really are a detective?
I am.
Good. I need you. I need both of you, but I need you more.
I'm intrigued. Our fee is $25 a day plus expenses.
What about nights?
We never... Nights? Same fee, but why nights?
Let me explain. I've been a widow these past few months. My husband, God rest his soul, stipulated in his will that I'm to live in the house for the rest of my days or I will forfeit my inheritance.
And you want to leave?
No. Well, yes. You see, I never cared for the place. It's way too big for my needs, and with my husband gone, it's rather lonely. My daughter, from a previous marriage, stays with me, but she's busy with college and friends, and I don't see her much. The house is old and drafty, the decor is gaudy, and now, it seems to be haunted.
Haunted? Has it always been haunted, or is this a new development?
It started happening a few weeks ago. What started happening exactly? Oh, let me see. Things around the house have gone missing, only to turn up a day later. Knickknacks that have been in one place for years have been moved to other rooms. I've heard moaning, someone weeping, and heavy footsteps upstairs. I've locked my husband's personal wing of the house, but keep finding the door open. I'm the only one with the key. The piano will start playing all on its own.
It's always playing our favorite song. I'm sorry for blubbering.
Take your time, Mrs. Mason. While Gloria Mason blew her nose and dabbed her eyes, I gave Hardly a look and rolled mine. I didn't believe in ghosts, but it was a potential client, our first case after a long dry spell. If she wanted me to believe a ghost was behind this, I would rush out and buy a spirit board and hold a séance.
There's more. I've discovered muddy footprints down in the basement, and when I ask the servants about it, they look at me like I have gone mad. But the worst is that every night at 10:30, I see a shadow walking below my bedroom window. Who stands to inherit if you forfeit? A few charities, and that's it.
What about your daughter?
Carol. That's her name, and my husband didn't exactly see eye to eye, and so he left her no legacy. Don't think ill of either one of them. They're both good people. They just had very different temperaments.
No one else?
The will is ironclad. Mr. Flynn, our family lawyer, said so himself. It's unbreakable. Has he advised you on this particular situation? I haven't spoken to him about it. I've confided only in my daughter, but she dismisses it as the ravings of an old woman.
Why do you think this is a haunting?
My psychic told me. She said that my husband is unhappy with me for some reason, and until I figure out why, he's going to continue to haunt me. She said this so matter-of-factly that I wondered if we needed to call the men in white coats to come and haul her off to the asylum.
The look on Hardley's face, though, led me to believe that he was hanging on her every word.
Well,
Mrs. Mason, we're not spiritualists, so what is it that we can do to help?
I want to hire you, Miss Stocking, to come and stay with me for a few days to help me sort this out. Money is no object, so I'm willing to sweeten the pot, as they say.
Desperate for money, I immediately said yes. We worked out the particulars and sent Mrs. Gloria Mason on her way. But before I headed over to the mansion, I wanted to stop by the police station and speak with our favorite cop, Sergeant Morelli, to pick his brain about the Mason family. Sergeant Morelli listened attentively as I shared the conversation I had with Mrs. Gloria Mason. He reserved judgment until the end. His reaction was to throw his head back and laugh.
I don't know what's so funny.
Because her psychic told her that her dead husband is angry with her and is now haunting her?
Oh, that's funny. Right. Okay. What do you want from me? I don't know how I can help. No body, no crime.
Hold on a sec, Sarge. Hardly, you mean to tell me you actually believe in ghosts?
Well, yeah. I've had too many weird things happen to me not to believe in them.
Wow, okay. Maybe you and Lois should get together and swap stories. She believes in spooks, too.
Who's Lois?
Oh, stop it, Lacey. Stop it right now.
Lois is the switchboard operator in our building, and she has a huge crush on Hardly.
Can we get down to business, please?
Ugh, fine. Morelli, see if you can dig up any dirt on the Mason family. Gloria Mason, husband was Jasper, and the stepdaughter's name is Carol. Lawyer's name is William Flynn. I'll be going to the Masons around 7 this evening. Maybe if you could have one of your men swing by the neighborhood later, that would be swell.
Right, got it.
Hardly agreed to sit by the phone at our office.
Holding hands with Lois, no doubt.
Knock it off, will ya? Don't be afraid to pack some heat, Lacey. This doesn't sound like a ghost, even if Mr. Witt thinks so. I'm glad you two are having fun at my expense.
Anyway, I'm off to my flat for a few things, maybe even my rosary to ward off any evil spirits.
Ooh.
Ha, ha. As if this evening couldn't get any worse, we were under a severe weather alert in Pittsburgh. Of course, because scary old houses and thunderstorms seemed to go hand in hand. I arrived at the Mason home slightly damp from the rain. The wind blew my umbrella inside out and broke it, so I was off to a great start. If Hardly had been asked to stay, he would be looking for ghosts instead of a live human being possibly trying to scare Gloria out of her home. But why and who? That was what I had to find out. A young woman, chewing gum like she was punishing it, answered the door.
"You must be Miss Stocking. I'm the daughter."
I was expecting a refined Deb, but Carol was still dressed like a bobby soxer with a little femme fatale thrown in there. It was a confusing look.
"I am. Nasty weather out there."
"I've always liked the rain."
"Or something soothing about it."
"Jeepers creepers. I could do without that, though."
"Come inside before we get electrocuted. Mother will be along shortly. She asked me to entertain you until then."
"I like your hair. Wish mine was something wild and crazy like red instead of mousy brown. Is it real?"
"My hair? Yeah, it's all natural."
"Some dames have all the luck."
What was college teaching this gal? Since she was sent to entertain me, I decided to see what I could get out of her. "I suppose you know why I'm here."
"Oh yeah, Mother's ghost."
"It sounds like you don't believe in spirits and spooks and things that go bump in the night."
"I don't know about spirits and spooks, lady, but there are plenty of things that go bump in the night in this drafty old mausoleum."
"What exactly did Mother tell you, anyway?"
"Only that she believes it's her husband haunting her." "The only person spooking Mother is that charlatan disguised as a psychic trying to haunt money from her. I believe that Mummy is experiencing repressed guilt
for flirting with the butler. So that's what college was teaching this gal. I made a mental note of that and filed it away in my brain for later. Have you seen or heard anything unusual? Have the staff?
I haven't, but I'm usually at school or the library. As for the staff, I don't know. I never talk to them.
Too busy?
No, I just don't like them.
Huh. Gloria said that you and your stepfather didn't get along.
Did she now? It's no big secret, really. I wanted to live my life on my own terms, and Jasper wanted me to get married and settle down like a good little girl. Before my real father died, he made me promise that when I grew up, that I would go out and see the world before it was too late. A year later, Jasper showed up with all his money. Mother couldn't help herself, I guess. I'm talking too much. Excuse me. Mother!
Gloria Mason waltzed into the foyer dressed like she was about to go out for the evening. Floor-length gown, jewels, and red lipstick. I soon came to learn the special occasion was that it was Tuesday, and she wasn't going anywhere. This was just how she dressed for dinner. By herself.
Oh, I was just about to take my coffee in the drawing room, if you'll join me, Miss Stocking. Carol, coming?
No, thanks. I have some studying to do. I'll be in my room.
You seem to be in good spirits, no pun intended, for someone who is being haunted, Mrs. Mason.
Don't let my calm demeanor fool you. Inside, I'm a bundle of nerves, but I have to put on a brave front in front of the servants and my daughter.
Considering what her daughter had just told me, I wondered if Gloria Mason was fooling no one but herself.
Let's have some coffee first before I give you a tour of the house. I suppose you have more questions now that you're here.
Sounds swell. I would like to see where most of your ghostly activity occurs and maybe even take a peek at the will, or at least the list of charities who get the dough if you skedaddle.
Such colorful language. Miss Docking, maybe you're not taking this as seriously as I would like you to.
I'm a straight shooter, Mrs. Mason, so let me give it to you straight. I don't believe in ghosts or hauntings. Whatever is going on here is probably coming from someone on this earthly plane and not from the spirit world.
One lump or two?
Two, and some cream.
Look, I know not everyone believes in spirits, but I would like for you to keep an open mind. I may not be...
You may not be what, Mrs. Mason?
After I left your office this morning, I ruminated on my situation, mostly what Madame Likova said to me.
Who?
Madame Likova, my psychic? Ah, I see. Go on. My dear, sweet husband has only been gone for 6 months. Recently, I have developed certain interests that he may not approve of.
Well, I'm certain he wouldn't approve. A man?
Not just one, I'm ashamed to say.
I thought back to what Carol said about her mother flirting with the butler and realized that the daughter might be right. Mrs. Mason was feeling guilty for wanting to find love, or at least lust, again. I decided not to say anything and just went along with it. And you believe your husband is upset with you on the other side, and that's why this is happening?
He wants to disinherit me. He knows I'm thinking of taking a gentleman friend, and he's angry.
What could I say to that? It was probably obvious to everyone around her that Gloria was feeling guilty and these things that were happening weren't actually happening except in Gloria's mind. We finished our coffee in the drawing room and headed for the library where the will was kept. Gloria showed me the door to her dead husband's study, which she kept locked and never allowed anyone to go in it. I'm the only one with the key, and yet I'm always finding the door unlocked and ajar. When I go inside to check on things, his desk lamp is on. I turn it off and lock the room back up. Any windows opened, papers on the desk or floor, books off the shelves?
Not a thing out of place.
Here's the will. The list of charities is in there somewhere.
Who was that?
That's the ghost.
The ghost screams like a woman?
Before I knew it, Gloria went racing out of the library toward the stairs. I followed. We sprinted down the hallway to a bedroom and found what I assumed was a maid holding a hand over her heaving chest, gasping for breath, and pointing out the window. Gloria rushed over.
Ah!
I nearly screamed myself. A body, hanging by a rope, swung in the tree outside the bedroom window. It took me a second to catch my breath.
Ladies, let's go downstairs to the library. Mrs. Mason, where's your phone? I need to call the police.
Phone! 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 Top of the stairs! I can't take this anymore! I don't care about the money! I'm leaving!
Gloria stumbled across the hall to her room, slammed the door shut, and locked it. I protested for a brief second before I realized she was better off in her room and out of the way, so I could snoop. I escorted the very hysterical maid down the hallway and encouraged her to wait downstairs in the kitchen while I called for backup. I called Hardly first because he was usually slower than molasses in the middle of January and wouldn't get to the Mason estate fast enough. He said he would be waiting by the phone at our office. He probably fell asleep, so I called Morelli.
Morelli here.
Lacey here. Saw a body swinging in the tree outside an upstairs window. Can you send someone over as soon as possible?
Right. On my way.
Do you know where my partner is?
No, but do you want me to look for him first?
No, just get over here and make it quick, will ya? I followed the sound of the weeping woman, thinking it might have been Gloria crying in her room, but all I heard coming from inside was the sound of rustling clothes. By the time I made it to the top of the stairs, the weeping had stopped. Even if I didn't believe in ghosts, I had goosebumps all over. I raced downstairs, searching for the maid who saw the man hanging in the tree. I had questions, she had answers. She wasn't in the kitchen, or the library, or anywhere on the first floor. In fact, no one was. I was alone in the house. Hardly was missing in action, probably asleep somewhere. Morelli was on his way, so I had time to investigate while I waited for him and my partner to show up. In the library, I skimmed the will. It was a headache of legalese, but I wasn't there to pick it apart. I wanted to know who else stood to inherit the dead man's money. Buried in the document, I found a list of three charities that inherited in a tier system. The first one would get the bulk of the fortune. The other two would have to divide what was left between themselves. The main charity was called Mission for the Undeserving. I had to read that twice, and then the third time, I saw that it said underserved, not undeserving, which had a kinder ring to it. There were four names listed under the charity: W. A. Flynn, Norman Bates, Harold Appelknocker, and... The lights flickered off and then on again. I hightailed it out of the library and slammed straight into the butler.
Oh! Who are you?
I am Niles, the butler, miss. He stood about 6'4" or so and had dark wavy hair, deep-set eyes with bushy eyebrows, and a rather large nose. If this was the man Carol said her mother was flirting with, I began to question Mrs. Mason's judgment. He was definitely no Cary Grant. His clothes were wet, freshly wet at that. Can I assist you in some way, Miss Stocking? Well, you can answer one question for me. Why are you soaking wet? Madam's cat, Miss Stocking. She's always running out at night, and with the storm, I had to bring her back inside. Poor puss was stuck in a tree. Which tree? Such an odd question, as there are over a dozen or more trees on Mr. Mason's property. Pick one. The one just off the kitchen. Excuse me, Miss Stocking. Do come in, officer.
Ah, Miss Stocking, there you are. Where's this body?
What body would that be, sir? The body hanging in the tree outside the bedroom window? That would explain the question about the trees. We were suddenly distracted by the sound of Mrs. Mason huffing and puffing as she dragged a suitcase downstairs. Let me get that for you, madam.
Don't bother with that. Grab the trunk upstairs and then bring the car around.
Mrs. Mason, where are you going?
I've had enough. I can't live like this. They can have the money. I would like to keep my sanity.
You can't do that. Not until we find the body and investigate. No one can leave. Who else is in the house?
My daughter, the maid, the cook, and Niles. That's all.
Round them up and we'll meet in the...
The library is good. Niles, forget the trunk and the car and find the others.
Very good, madam.
Morelli, have you been able to find Hardly?
I swung by your office and it was empty.
Figures. Well, I guess you want to see the body.
You guessed right. Jenkins, keep an eye on things.
I took Morelli upstairs to the bedroom where the maid, Gloria, and I had seen the body hanging in the tree. On the way, he told me he couldn't find any dirt on the Mason family. Upstanding citizens. He didn't have time to check on the lawyer. In the bedroom, we kept the lights off and waited for a lightning strike, but the storm had already passed. Good thing Morelli had a flashlight.
Does this window open? Oh, there we are. Let me turn this thing on and... nothing.
Let me see. It was there a half an hour ago. Huh, that's the darndest thing about bodies. Sometimes they disappear on you when you aren't looking.
Sarcasm.
The butler said he went outside to pull the cat out of a tree. When I ran into him in the foyer, he was still soaking wet.
What does he stand to gain in all this?
The daughter said Mom's been flirting with the old guy, so...
What on earth is that? Sounds like a cow dying.
That's the ghost. Let's see if we can find out where it's coming from. Morelli and I split up, running frantically up and down the hallway, searching for the source of the sound. Music came from one of the rooms, but I suspected that was the daughter's, and she was listening to the radio as she did schoolwork.
Morelli, over here. Whose room is this?
Considering it's locked, I can only guess that this is Mr. Mason's wing of the house. Gloria said she keeps this and his study locked up, but the noise was definitely coming from inside.
Aren't you an expert lockpicker?
My tools are in my purse, and my purse is downstairs in the library.
Well, let's head downstairs and start asking some questions. This night will go on forever if we don't.
As Morelli and I walked downstairs, I was shocked to find Hardly standing by the door with an older gentleman, drenched from head to toe.
Where have you been?
I was staking out the joint when I saw this guy skulking around in the yard. He won't tell me who he is because he doesn't believe I'm a private detective.
Well, I'm a police sergeant. Will you answer me?
I'm Mr. Flynn, the Mason family lawyer.
What were you doing outside in the rain?
I stopped by to check on my client.
Why? Was she in trouble?
A widow with a large fortune is always on the brink of trouble. She phoned and asked me to stop by. I was going to come in through the front door, but I thought I saw a shadowy figure at the back of the house. I've been sitting in my car all evening, chum, and the only shadowy figure I saw out there was you.
Is that why your shoes are so muddy?
My shoes? Well, I chased a mystery person and slipped a few times. The ground is rather soggy.
Mr. Flynn, what on earth are you doing out on a night like this?
Mrs. Mason.
You sit this one out, Mr. Flynn. I'll take it. Mrs. Mason, did you phone your lawyer and ask him to stop by?
I said I might be making some changes and that we would talk soon, but I didn't expect it to be this evening.
You fool, what are you doing here?
Wait a minute. Mr. Flynn, what's your first name?
Why?
I raced off to the library and snatched the will from the desk, immediately checking the names listed under the top charity expected to inherit in case Gloria leaves the estate. Mr. W. A. Flynn, is that you?
If
you don't answer me, Sergeant Morelli has ways of getting people to talk.
What are you getting at, Miss Stocking?
The charity that stands to inherit the bulk of your fortune has the name W. A. Flynn listed under it. Do you know his full name?
I don't. My husband handled all the legal and financial matters. Mr. Flynn, answer the question.
I don't know what she's talking about. Who is she, anyway?
Are you familiar with an organization called Mission for the Undeserving? I mean, Underserved?
No,
I am not. May I go now? I am soaked to the bone, and I don't want to catch cold.
Achoo! Cry me a river, Mr. Flynn. Either you show me some identification or I'll find it myself.
There are many men out there named William Flynn.
This is ridiculous. Take your hands off me. Right, here we go. Driver's license registered to a William Allen Flynn.
What? You scoundrel!
I imagine that if I had just lost my husband of many years, I wouldn't be interested in reading the fine print of a legal document either. But Mrs. Mason, the name of the person under the charity who stands to inherit your husband's fortune is the family lawyer.
That would explain why you kept encouraging me to cut my losses and go. You're fired.
You can't do that.
So help me God, if I find out that you've been the one behind all these noises and strange occurrences in this house, I'll press charges. Sergeant, please escort this man from the premises. I'm not going anywhere.
I can do that, but I can't take him into custody until I have a crime to charge him with.
How about trespassing?
Yes, take him in for trespassing and get him out of my sight.
A week later, Gloria Mason stopped by the Hardly A. Witt Detective Agency to give us an update.
I had Sergeant Morelli and his men search the house and the grounds for the tricks that crooked lawyer was pulling on me.
What did they find?
It was elaborate, but sloppy, but I suspect that was because of me.
What do you mean?
My husband always said I had more love in my heart than I had brains in my head. It never occurred to me to check the will more thoroughly. And of course, that crooked lawyer didn't encourage me to do so. He always said he would handle everything and not to worry my pretty little head about it. So, you see, he didn't have to work hard because I didn't work hard.
You trusted the man, why would you?
I'm really curious, what exactly did Morelli find?
Flynn knew about the secret passageway from the basement to the rest of the house. My husband must have told him about it, even after I asked him to keep it a secret. We had too many people coming and going, so I was always worried about who had access to the house. Flynn was able to get into some of the rooms and could come and go whenever he wanted. He would sneak in from the passageway and open my husband's office and leave it open, would hide in the house and play music, and had recordings of ghostly sounds. And no one, especially me, knew he was there. He was so very slick.
What about the body in the tree?
It was a dummy. Flynn had a pulley system rigged in the tree, so it was easy for him to hang it out there and take it down after everyone had gone to bed. He finally confessed to the police that sooner or later he would get lucky and someone would see it in the tree and tell me about it, and that would be the thing that would push me over the edge.
And so if you forfeited your inheritance, he would get access to the money through his fake charity.
Did the other men involved in the charity know about any of this?
Those other men you saw listed under the charity name? Those were all his aliases. It was only just him.
You're kidding. Yowza, what stupidity.
Except I'm the stupid one.
Don't beat yourself up. You stayed strong. You didn't leave the house and you uncovered a crime. You should be proud of yourself.
Well, when you put it that way...